The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back as we head into hour two of our daily three-hour tour. We do so as we do every Friday with George Kaloff. He is the managing partner at the Resolute Group and the president of Data Orbital. He's the best political consultant I know, and we are delighted he is here in Arizona as well as here with us on this show. George, happy Friday. Thanks for joining us on a repeat performance this week.
I know. It's a good week when I'm on with Seth Leibson twice in 5 days.
Well, the times demand it. The times require you. George, we may have solved our primary results here in Arizona, with the capstoning of it last night. But there are a few others and some other issues we're going to have to think through for the general. Let's start with a few other primaries. The one making all the news right now is in Wyoming, where it looks like, you tell me your sense of it, it looks like Elizabeth Cheney is going to be soundly and roundly defeated by Harriet Hageman. Harriet Hageman has been a guest on this show, by the way. I like the cut of her jib very, very much. I'm a supporter of her, so let me just disclose that. But your sense of that race right now, George?
Yeah, and look, Harriet, I've been following her since when she ran for governor in that super complicated race a couple years ago. She is super talented. I think that race could be summed up, and I'm not sure who put this on Twitter, but someone was alluding to the recent video that came out, which I know we're going to talk about, where former Vice President Dick Cheney did a video for his daughter Liz, and the video was spent, 60-second video, 55 seconds of it was spent trashing President Trump, a man who won Wyoming by a wide margin. And someone summed it up by saying, it's clear for anyone who thinks that Liz Cheney is actually trying to win this primary, that that's not the point. She knows she's going to lose. And at this point, she's just making her final stand, which is her right to do so, whether it's with the January 6th commission that she's helping co-chair or with the way that the race has been conducted. I think most political observers see what happened, frankly, even in Arizona, some of these down ballot races. And others, I mean, I think people would be shocked if it's less than a 30% victory for Harriet, if not more.
Right. I would think the same thing, too. There's got to be an odd, it's either tremendous tone and merit deafness by the Cheney family. I mean, tremendous deafness to the point that you almost want to call a political physician in or some kind of political scientist to help diagnose them with their hearing and sight problems. Or it's exactly what you said, which is she's angling for something else. I guess like people who leave the Trump White House, turn on Donald Trump, and then get hired by ABC. Maybe it's something like that, George. But let me pause on the first notion for a moment. If she wants to do something else, maybe form her own party or join the Democrats. You know, it's an interesting thing. These Democrats who like to talk about the bravery of people like the Cheneys and the Kinzingers and the other Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump, but then they end up supporting their opponents. You cannot trust that party and you cannot please that party as a Republican. When will we ever learn?
Exactly. I mean, this is even my comment on the Never Trumpers in the Lincoln Project, which obviously we know, you know, everything that ended up happening there and the horrificness of so many people in their leadership. But aside from that, after they went and they were opposing Donald Trump, what did they do? They were opposing just rank and file Republican senators that had nothing to do with Donald Trump around the country.
And rank and file conservative issues, whether it had to do with foreign policy to abortion, right?
Exactly. And now those same members are calling out frankly, people like very prominent individuals like a Bill Kristol, not to pick on him, but you know, very clearly.
Oh, you can pick on him.
Came out,
it's okay.
I mean, he came out in opposition to, you know, what was happening in Kansas and the pro-life thing, which we're going to talk about. I mean, there's odd things like that. And then people look at that and they say, oh, my God, you know, we're going to hold them up. The other thing that's ironic, I've already seen on Twitter, because obviously that's where all things good, bad and otherwise are seen these days, where Democrats are like, oh, wait, we have to be too careful not to give too much love to Dick Cheney because he was their most hated man in the country.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, man, he was the guy behind President Bush who for 8 years ate their lunch or whatever phrase that you want. And now, again, he's being held up. And so you can't have it both ways. And even now we're already seeing that you can't please them. There are two parties for a reason. We only have two parties. This isn't like in Europe or the Middle East or other places where you have 50 parties and every Tom, Dick, and Harry can open up shop if they get upset. You have two parties. And there's some Republicans that are pretending to live in this no man land, and there's this new movement propelled by a lot of these never Trumpers to make a third party, which we know in America, based on the history of the last 200 and some years, that that's probably not going to come to fruition and bear any fruit. But it seems like they don't learn their mistakes. They keep repeating it.
They're deaf to any advice to the contrary. I mean, how badly do you have to misread the political landscape and your own biography to be Dick Cheney and think that really at this point people want to take political cues from you? There were merits to Dick Cheney, but there are probably few vice presidents that didn't resign office, that left office in greater shame than he did. This was not a man who was popular when he left office, and the Bush-Cheney administration, I think it's fair to say, is viewed by most Republicans and conservatives as okay when it was there, but well beyond its shelf life and use life at this point.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's so much. I really think it comes down to they're making a political stand. We know elected officials, even in former elected officials that have been out of office for a number of years now, that took political stands. You get to the point, I think, in a political campaign or in your career where you realize I'm just not the cup of tea of today.
Yeah.
I'm here and everyone else is there, whatever metaphor you want to use. And then you do one of two things. You either bow out gracefully, or you take this final stand, whether or not it ends in the suicide of your political career. And I believe this is what's panning out. But on the flip side of that, to almost play not devil's advocate, but on the flip side of that, the point is probably not a political future. The point is that, you know, whether it's a cushy consulting gig or, like you said, some sort of media gig, people make careers of that and they take a stand. You don't have to be loved by everyone to go make a bunch of money by being the supposed conservative on The View or whatever it may be on some of these talk show, things in the media or in the consulting world or otherwise. So that's what I think is happening here. She's taking a stand. She understands that the writing's on the wall, and this is part of them taking a stand as a family.
There is, however, George, if you will work with me on this for a second, there is, however, another level of scam and disgust that I see in this, though. And it's someone with no realistic chance of winning an election that still is campaigning and seeking funds either locally or nationally for what everyone with an IQ above your shoe size knows is a failing campaign that has no shot. I really resent politicians or people trying to become elected officials who have no shot because good people are hoodwinked into giving their money and resources to them, volunteering their time for them. You know, a close campaign is one thing. A long shot campaign with rational prospects is another. But a dead end campaign where she's, you know, putting out fundraisers and people are complying with it. I got to tell you, I think someone should be ashamed of themselves for doing that kind of thing.
I mean, look, and usually what happens is these campaigns end up turning into organizations. Look at what
Evan
McMullen did when he ran for president.
Exactly.
We knew he wasn't going to win. I mean, again, there's no way an independent's going to win. He came in a whatever third place in Utah, the ones that he may have had somewhat of a chance. Now he's running for Senate. But what happened the moment, literally the moment, and I've been on his list for far too long.
Me too. How do we get off? I've been trying to get off it too. You tell me if you figure out how. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, right. So the day after the election, they announced the creation of this new organization that essentially has spent the last 2 years poking their finger in the eye of Republicans, and now he's going after Mike Lee. I mean, right? It never stops.
It's not about.
I've become resigned to it. For a lot of these individuals, some of them, it's not the case. A lot of them, though, it was never about President Trump. It was about a convenience pre-President Trump that they, you know, we lived in this big tent Republican party where they were nominally Republican at best, nominally. And then all of a sudden the party woke up and said, yeah, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And they felt themselves without a political home, and now they're revolting. But it was propelled by President Trump. But we all know, again, they're going after all kinds of people that are not President Trump. because they just don't believe in our issues and values.
That's exactly right. I mean, if Dick Cheney really believes, as he said, that in our nation's 246-year history, there's never been an individual who's a greater threat to our republic, then you know you're talking to someone who's an idiot, because it's simply not true. There was something called the Civil War. There were the Nathan Bedford Forrests of the world, of course. There were the assassins, of course. There was the Whiskey Rebellion. There were all kinds of the John Brown stuff. I mean, my God, to put Donald Trump into that category shows you have no moral or political credibility whatsoever. George, I want to keep you another segment because this Kansas abortion thing needs to be discussed a little bit, especially as we look at how we may handle it in Arizona and other states. I can keep you another segment, can't I?
Let's do it.
I'm Seth Leibson. He's George Kaloff, and he is the president of Data Orbital and the managing partner at the Resolute Group. I'm Seth. He's George, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Inflation is at a 41-year high, and every day more harmful decisions by the current administration are continuing to hurt the economy. The good news is when investments fall, gold traditionally holds its value, which is why I recommend calling Midas Gold Group to talk about safeguarding your wealth with physical gold or other precious metals. The veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. Seb Gorka and I own precious metals from them. Many of you already do as well. More of you can. Give them a call to talk about diversifying your investments. Call them at 480-360-3000. That's the Midas Gold Group at 480-360-3000. Or visit them online at MidasGoldGroup.com. That's the MidasGoldGroup.com. George Kaloff is our guest. He is the managing partner at the Resolute Group and the president of Data Orbital. George, we have been watching and reading the analyses, coming out of Kansas, particularly on their ballot measure regarding abortion. It sends some shockwaves, I think, through a lot of the Republican and conservative community, and maybe raise some eyebrows even amongst the Democrats and liberals. But there's more to it than just simply saying the vote was won or lost, isn't there?
There is. There is. To unpack quickly for folks listening, since obviously this election is the same night as our primary, before the Dobbs decision was handed down in Kansas, they had put a referendum to vote to say, should we keep our right to an abortion that was found by the Supreme Court in the Kansas state constitution, or should we not, and leave it up to the legislature? Then Dobbs happened. Well, they already were down the path. I think anyone from a political perspective would understand that putting up a vote up to the people a mere weeks after a major cultural decision was made that changed 50 years of policy was going to be a difficult one. A lot of money came in from both sides. The other thing that people forget is while, yes, Kansas was won 15% by Donald Trump, and it's a pretty Republican state, in the last 70 years, I read an article about this, they've had 7 Republican governors and 6 Democratic governors. They currently have a Democratic governor. They have 4 members of their congressional delegation, one of which is a Democrat in the most populous and fastest growing portion of the state, which is Eastern Kansas, which takes up the main city. So it's a very complicated state. It also, most importantly, was an exceptionally complicated worded referendum for a whole host of reasons that we don't necessarily need to get into. But for the purposes of this, you know, conversation, a lot of things were triangulating to make it difficult. And because of all of these things, because we have not really had time to unpack as a nation in this states, whether you're Kansas, Arizona, or otherwise, it went down. I don't think we can surmise from this, though. And again, let's continue to unpack this. I don't think we can surmise from this, though, and we shouldn't surmise from this. Oh, my gosh, life is can't win when put up to the vote of the people. There's a lot of complicating factors here. And again, we need more time. There's a lot that goes into this subject and this issue. And Kansas was never going to be the slam dunk that people thought that it would be. But of course, it fits a very convenient political narrative for the left. And the media is now saying, oh, my gosh, the life issue's dead. Pro-lifers are crazy. Look at how bad it lost. It feeds and helps their interest.
Yes, that's a good analysis, George. And I think there's a few other things I would want to add or underscore to what you just said. First of all, there's a temporary use of what took place in Kansas in simply talking about the Dobbs decision, which is that Kansas could not have engaged in this if the Supreme Court outlawed abortion in this country. What it proved, obviously, is that, no, it is subject to votes in the states now or the state legislators' decisions. You can't have both. Either the Supreme Court issued a diktat or Kansas was acting in a revolutionary manner. It wasn't. It was acting in accordance with the Dobbs decision, which allows the states to make these decisions now. Fair enough?
100%, right? That was the whole point.
Right.
We don't want unelected justices to have found a right, you know, incorrectly in the Constitution to protect something that was never meant to be protected. It needs to go back to elected representatives of the people at the state and national levels, by the way.
We need to talk about that at some point, too. But nor did the Supreme Court ban it and outlaw abortion. Clearly they didn't. Otherwise, Kansas would have been, as I say, engaging in a revolution here, which they were not. The other thing, yes, I can't stress this enough. And we face this problem in Arizona, too, with ballot initiatives. But the ballot initiative there, I really challenge anyone in earshot to read it for themselves. And this is a you know, an audience that is very engaged and obviously very smart. It's a very confusing. It's a very confusingly written proposition. Think of it just this way: at a basic level, a yes vote, as the Secretary of State or whoever's office does the electioneering manuals over there, a yes vote is an affirmation that there's no constitutional right. I mean, it's confusing and sending people's brains into a lot of different directions, even contrary directions, on, yes, as you put it, a pretty complex and new issue. Yes means no is, in other words, what your vote was supposed to be. It's like the old, it's like
100%.
The old Louis Prima song, "Yes, We Have No Bananas."
Yeah, 100%. And again, we know in Arizona, we're very familiar. We have some of the, frankly, loosest, and thankfully we've tightened them a bit, referendum and initiative laws on the books where people and, frankly, out-of-state interests can come in and spend and change whatever they want. And sometimes people write 30, 40, 50-page monstrosities that you then have to unpack in a little blurb that goes on the ballot. I mean, this is not the purpose and the point and the way that our representative democracy, our constitutional republic, I should say, sorry, our constitutional republic was set up. You know, but the framers of our Arizona constitutional law for it and other states like Kansas have this. And so, you know, look, we there's a lot of caution in that, because also then whoever has the most money can get to the most people, unlike the way that we usually, you know, run our system and government. They're the ones that end up having the upper hand. So.
You know, it's a funny thing about that whole initiative process in the first place. It's a really interesting thing. The history of initiatives, for those that want to go back on their political science lessons a little bit, or maybe American history, the history of initiatives came out of the progressive movement. This was a progressive era thing starting in California and moving across to other states. Not all states have them, but the states that do were one of them, obviously Kansas and California. California makes a lot of news with theirs. But it's become an interesting thing when the notion, this progressive notion of giving more votes and more empowerment to the people, right? That was the idea behind it, is now influenced by huge, and nowhere is this more true than Arizona, by huge influences of big bucks from out of state, big interests from out of state, Soros-type interests from out of state. Kind of a perversion of the whole notion and concept of the origin of the initiative process.
Of course, of course. A billionaire like George Soros, a billionaire like Tom Steyer try to come in here and shove something down the throats of Arizona's. But the other thing that's maybe even more ironic than this, Seth, and I know you'll appreciate this, is that this progressive notion, because it's of the people and it's quote-unquote populist, is only okay if it's pushing progressive populist values, not conservative
populist
values.
Yeah, that's it. No, you got the memo. You got it. Yeah. Yes. Progressivism for me, but not for thee. Exactly, George. Well, we'll talk more about this. We're going to have to deal with it here in Arizona next time we visit, perhaps next week. George, I want to wish you a great weekend. Thanks for holding our hand through the election counts of this week. Bless you in all things. George Kaloff of the Resolute Group and Data Orbital. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks, Seth.
You betcha. I'm Seth Leibson. Don't go away. We will be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.